Our Heavenly Father, I pray that how you bless Paul in those days and give him grace upon grace, I pray that you do the same to us, so that when we see you face to face, we will be truly blessed. We not only want blessing right now, but we want more, all the more blessing in the future. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, through Paul's writing, we learned a lot of spiritual truth. And the book of Ephesians, book of Philippians, the book of Colossians, these three books was written while Paul is in prison. If he wasn't in prison, he won't receive so much blessing. So God's servant was sent into prison, locked up, is a blessing in disguise. That's why Paul said in chapter 3, verse 1, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." Paul was called to be the apostle to the Gentile. And in order for him to be the servant of the gospel to the Gentile, he need to know what God has in store for the Gentile. In order for him to hear the voice of the Lord, he got to be quiet himself and lock up in the prison for a long time. And then God reveal his plan, his will to him, so that he can write it down in the book of Ephesians, book of Philippians, and book of Colossians. Brother and sister, if you do good things and then suffer for Jesus Christ, that is a blessing in disguise. That means the Lord will take you to a higher ground and give you more blessing that other apostles, they don't receive it. While Paul was in prison, another apostle to the Jews like Peter, he can travel around together with his wife to preach the gospel. Outwardly, when we see that Peter received more blessing and more glory from our Lord Jesus Christ than Paul. But that's not true. When Peter go to various churches to preach the gospel, what did he use to preach? He used Paul's writing to preach. He wasn't qualified to write any scripture in those days because he wasn't suffered enough to know the truth and the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why Paul said that for this reason, because I'm the servant to the Gentile, to preach to the Gentile in verse 8. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentile, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. In order to have the unsearchable riches of Christ, you got to be locked up in prison. That's why Paul say, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentile." And then in verse 13, he say that one more time. "I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which are your glory." Without being locked up in prison, Paul will not know the mystery of Christ, will not understand all this God's will, and he won't be able to write that down. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, he say that one more time. "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So we give thanks that God allowed suffering upon the faithful servant of Apostle Paul for the sake of you Gentiles. So, just like what he's writing in the book of Romans in chapter 8, and turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering. In his suffering is Christ's suffering. Christ suffered for doing good. Christ suffered for doing God's will, in order that we may also share in his glory. Paul not only talked about that, Paul put it into practice so that you know what he's talking about. Brother and sister, no pain and no gain. And you suffer for Christ for doing good, it is not a shameful thing to do. It is a glorious thing to do. And verse 18 of Romans chapter 8, I consider our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And in us, you write that down, in the light of Paul. You write down Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And God chosen his faithful servant to reveal God's truth, and not to Peter. Go back, chapter 3, verse 2. Surely you have heard about the administrations of God's grace that was given to me for you. In other words, if Apostle Paul doesn't have the ministry to serve the Gentile, he won't have God's grace to know the mystery of Christ. In order for you to do God's work, God got to show his power in your life, change Paul's life, and then he can understand the mystery of Christ. Say that one more time in verse 2. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me, to you. Before he write the book of Ephesians, he has already written the book of Romans, book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and book of Galatians. And through this writing, we know Paul knows the mystery of Christ. That is, in verse 3, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation. Make known to me by revelation. He not only mentioned in chapter 3, verse 2 of book of Ephesians, he also mentioned it in Galatians. That revelation not only from God, that revelation, first of all, is from Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul said, I want you to know, brother, that the gospel I preach is not something that men make up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. That's number one. And then, in verse 15, but when God, who set me apart from birth, and call me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. So we learned that Jesus Christ revealed the mystery to Paul, chapter 1, verse 12 in Galatians. And then 1:15 to 16, God the Father revealed the mystery of his Son Jesus Christ to Paul. And now in Ephesians chapter 3, the Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to Paul. I read that to you in verse 3. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly, right down Galatians chapter 1. And in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to man in other generation, as is now been revealed by the Spirit of God to God's holy apostle and prophet. Galatians mentioned that Jesus Christ revealed his mystery to Paul. Galatians mentioned that God the Father revealed his Son's mystery to Paul. Now, in Ephesians, Paul said that God revealed his mystery through the Holy Spirit to Paul. The triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit revealed the mystery of Christ to Paul. No one has written this kind of writing, because Paul cried himself before God in the prison. He has a lot of time, and God spoke to him. And he write down. Brother and sister, if you get time, make sure daily you set aside the time with God, with the Holy Spirit, and with Jesus. And he will talk to you. Now in verse 4, in reading this previous writing, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to man in other generation, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostle and prophet. Right beside holy apostle and prophet. This prophet, this apostle, know the mystery of Christ. So brother and sister, you write that down. Right beside chapter 3, verse 5, you write down chapter 2, verse 20. Make sure that we know that we are no longer foreigner, alien, but we are now fellow citizens with God's people and member of God's household. We got to be built upon the foundation of the apostle and prophet. They have the mystery of Christ. So you listen to them. You build your life upon their teaching. Your life will be changed. And how they are blessed, and you will be blessed if you follow their very footsteps. In verse 6, this mystery of Christ is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, member together of one body. Member together of one body is same as the member of God's household in verse 19. If you are the member of God's household, you are in Jesus Christ. That one body is Jesus, is the new person. And that is the church. That one body is the body of Jesus Christ. You write down 1:23, the church is his body. You're a member of the church, you're the member of his body. Make sure you are the member of the church. You are not the member of any cult. Turn to Second Timothy. I'm sorry, turn to 1 Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 15. If I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. God's household is the church of the living God. Circle the word. God's household is the church of the living God. So I want you to write that down. Right beside the God's household, in chapter 3, verse 15 of 1 Timothy, you write down Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. We no longer foreigner and alien, but now we are member of God's household. If you are the member of God's household, that means you are the member of the church of the living God. And how do we define the church of the living God? If the church has the pillar and the foundation of the truth. If you go to a church, doesn't have the pillar and foundation of the truth, that is not the church of the living God. That is the church of Satan. In Revelation chapter 2 verse 9, in Revelation chapter 3 verse 9, the Jewish people went to synagogue every Saturday on the Sabbath day, but Jesus Christ called that synagogue of Satan, because they do not have the pillar and the foundations of the truth. Don't pick and choose your own church. You pick and choose the church of the living God. The church of the living God is God's household. And now we are member of God's household. We are the member of one body. We are the member of the church. We are the member of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say? You make sure you build your life upon the pillar and the foundation of God's truth. What are they? Number one, you write that down in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 6, there's three pairs of the foundation of the truth. Chapter 6, verse 1, therefore let us leave the elementary teaching about Christ and go on to maturity. Number one pair, not laying again the foundations of repentance from act that leads to death, and of faith in God. That's the first pair of the foundation of the truth. Second pair, the instruction about baptism, the laying on of hand, is the second pair. an instruction about baptism, and Paul talked about that in Acts chapter 19, because 12 disciples, they are not disciples of Jesus Christ, they are disciples of apostles, they are disciples of the John the Baptist. They baptized into the name of John the Baptist, and Paul give them instruction about baptism. And then laying on of hand on upon them, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the second pair of the foundation of the truth. The third pair. The third pair is the resurrections of the dead. If there's no resurrection, there's no eternal judgment. So the third pair is the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Make sure you go to the church, talk about these three fundamental truths. But not just these three pair of fundamental truths. We have to grow into maturity. The maturity is what Paul's writing. Because Paul received the mystery of Christ through the revelation by Jesus Christ, by God the Father, and by the Holy Spirit. And Paul said that, not only I received this, all other holy apostles and holy prophets, they all received this. So make sure your life is built upon this holy truth. Verse 6, chapter 3, Ephesians. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, member together of one body, member together of God's household. Only one God's household. Only one church. The church of the living God is the pillar and the foundations of God's truth. You and I know that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in the end time, a lot of people, they bring in all kinds of pastors. They are not speaking the truth. If you're not building your life upon the pillar and the foundations of the truth, you yourself will suffer. How do you know this is God's truth? If you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, the Holy Spirit will tell you. If you have God's word within your heart, God's word will tell you. If you don't have that within your heart, no one can tell you. So you have to continue to work out your salvation. Build your life upon the apostle and prophet's foundation, based upon the biblical teaching, the Old Testament and the New Testament teaching. And finally, we are all sharer together in the promise in Christ Jesus. How do I get these three kind of blessing? Heir together, member together, sharer together, make sure you are in Christ Jesus. Make sure you are in Christ Jesus. Apart from Christ Jesus, you don't have this kind of blessing. Because this blessing is given by God the Father through Jesus Christ. I mention it one more time, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in Christ Jesus our Lord before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ, in according with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loved. In the one he loved, in that one body, in that one God's household, in that one church. That's the church of the living God. That's not the church of Satan. That's the church of the living God. Paul is very, very good. He followed the footsteps of King David. When David get the blessing, he blessed his own people with material blessing and with spiritual blessing. And Paul doing the same thing. So, this kind of people receive a higher blessing, because when they receive blessing from God the Father, they pour out this blessing to God's people. And that is exactly what King David say in Psalm 16. In Psalm 16, verse 3, as for the saint, as for the holy people of God, who are in the land, that is in the land of the living, they are the glorious one, in whom is all my delight. And King David delight in them, and teach them, and pour out blessing upon them, the blessing that he received from God the Father. In the same way, now Paul received all kind of blessing, especially in the prison for the sake of you Gentile. Now he pour blessing to the Gentile. He telling the Gentile, you Gentile, as long as you believe in the gospel, you Gentile, as long as you live in Jesus Christ, follow his command and be his disciple, you can be heir together with Israel. There's no difference between the believing Jews and the believing Gentile. You can be heir of God. Romans 8:17, heir of God, co-heir with Christ. If you indeed suffer for his sake, indeed you will receive glory in the future. You not only heir together with Israel, you are member together with Israel of one body. Right beside this one body, you write down 3:16 of Galatians. Because God only blessed Abraham and his seed. And that seed is not plural, it's singular. Means Jesus the Messiah. Through Jesus Christ, you become the members of one body, member of one God's household, member of one church of God, the church of the living God. And you are the sharer together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Before, you don't know the promise. Chapter 2, verse 12, remember that at that time when you were uncircumcised, you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise. You know nothing about God's promise, but now you know, because you are no longer foreigner and alien, but now you are fellow citizen with God's people, member of God's household. You got to build upon the foundations of the apostle and prophet, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Any church do not honor Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone, that church is not worth going into. Okay? Chief cornerstone, the solid rock, is our refuge, our fortress, our stronghold, our deliverance, our savior. No other savior by which we are saved. Only by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the chief cornerstone. He is the Messiah. He is the Son and one only of the living God. Verse 7. I became a servant of this gospel by the gifts of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Chapter 3, verse 7 is loaded with blessing. And let me separate them one by one. Chapter 3, verse 1, right beside God's grace. Brother and sister, being able to serve God is by the gifts of God's grace. Being a servant of this gospel is because you receive the gifts of God's grace. First of all, talk about gifts of God's grace. You turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This salvation is not from yourself. It is the gifts of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. Salvation is God's gift. Salvation is by grace through faith. Write that down. Salvation is God's gift. And I want you to write that down. Service, being able to serve God, is God's grace. It's God's gift of grace to you. If you are not serving God, that means you don't have God's gifts of grace to you. If you are serving God, that means you receive God's gifts of grace to you. I say that one more time. Not only salvation is God's gifts of grace to you. Service is also God's grace of gifts to you. Okay? Say that one more time. And I want you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gifts of God is eternal life. Write that down. Eternal life is salvation. That salvation, that eternal life is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. You write that down. It's the gifts of God. The gifts of God is eternal life. The gifts of God is eternal service. You being able to serve God forever and ever, that is God's gifts. I want you to write that down in Revelation, the last chapter, and verse 8. I'm sorry, verse 5. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Who are they? Circle the word they. You write that in verse 3. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city. His servants will serve him. Being able to serve him and being able to reign with Jesus Christ forever and ever, that is God's gift of grace to you. What did you learn today? Salvation and service, both of them are God's gifts to you, and it's God's grace. And you have to receive it by faith. Thanks God for giving us this living truth. I became a servant of this gospel by the gifts of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Circle the word His power. Brother and sister, you being able to be saved by God, it is by His power. You being able to serve God is also by His power. God used His mighty power to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. Chapter 1, verse 19. And God using the same kind of power to lift Him up so that He seated in God's throne. His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength in verse 20, which God exerted in Christ when He raised Christ from the dead and then seated Him in His right hand in the heavenly realm. God using His power to save us. God using His power to enable us being able to serve God. Without God's power, your ministry is in vain. We don't use our own power to serve God. We use God's power to serve God. Go back. Chapter 3. I became a servant of this gospel by the gifts of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentile. Without God's grace, you don't have this ministry. Without God's grace, you don't have salvation. First come the salvation, then come the ministry. You don't serve God to earn the salvation. You receive the salvation by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. And you also receive the ministry by grace through faith. That's the gift of God too. Think about that. How much grace do you receive? I want you to write that down right beside chapter 3 of Ephesians. You write Gospel of John 1:16. From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Don't just receive one kind of blessing and then be the prodigal son and walk away from Jesus Christ. Make sure we all have received one blessing after another from the fullness of His grace. God has a lot of gifts for you, waiting for you to repent. Repentance from act that leads to death. Forsake your simple way that you will live. Now that you live, you walk in the way of understanding. You walk in the way of righteousness. You walk in the way of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ for His name's sake. In verse 8, although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentile the unsearchable riches of Christ. Chapter 3, verse 8, look like Paul is very, very humble. If you look at it from the human point of view, he said that, although I am less than the least of all God's people, and this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentile the unsearchable riches of Christ. Right beside the unsearchable riches of Christ, you write down, to preach to the Gentile the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ is the unsearchable riches of Christ. Superficially, from the human point of view, Paul is very humble, saying that he is less than the least of all God's people. But from God's point of view, from Jesus' point of view, it is all because of God's grace to him. God gives to him and give him this ministry. This ministry comes with this kind of blessing. In order for you to preach to the Gentile, you got to know what to preach to them. It's the mystery of Christ. It's the unsearchable riches of Christ. God gave it to him freely by grace through faith. He didn't grumble. He didn't complain. He didn't murmur while he was in prison. He gave thanks to God. And God revealed the mystery of Christ to him, the unsearchable riches of God's love to him. Even the Gentile, through the gospel, by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and live in him, you become heir together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharer together in his promise. That is wonderful. I thank God to give us the best apostle, so that we, the Gentile, we receive the same kind of blessing Abraham received in Old Testament. There's no difference between the believing Jews and the believing Gentiles. We all receive the same grace from our Lord Jesus Christ. We all receive the same gifts of God by faith through grace. Everybody say? Not only salvation by grace through faith, not only salvation is a gift of God. Being able to serve God is a gift of God. Not being humble, that's the fact. The more you're closer to God, the more you realize you're not worthy to receive it. It's all by grace he gave it to you. Go back in verse 9. Even the children say amen. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, to make plain, because this is unsearchable riches of Christ. How do you make plain? Unless you have the power from God to make it plain. While you're writing, God gives you power to write the right thing. While you preach, God gives you the power to say the right word. While you people are listening, God gives you the power to understand what you hear. I want you to write that down, the ministration of God's mystery. You write down Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a mind that understand. To this day, the Lord has not given you the eye that see. To this day, the Lord has not given you ear that hear. That's no good. So that's why in Luke chapter 24, verse 45, God did extraordinary thing through Jesus Christ to his follower, the disciple. 24 verse 5, then Jesus opened their mind, the mind of the disciple of Jesus Christ, so that they could understand the scripture. When you can understand the scripture, that means God has given you a mind that can understand, eyes that can see, and ear that hear. You have to know the word of God, and you have to know the work of Satan too. What's the work of Satan? Chapter 4, verse 4, or 2 Corinthians. The God, small letter G, the God of this age, that Satan, has blinded the mind of unbeliever, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Satan blinded your mind. God opened your mind, your eyes, your heart, that you can understand the scripture. And that's the thing that we have to pray. We all have to pray for that. Make sure you are not the unbeliever. Make sure you are the believer. The unbeliever are the candidate of Satan to blind your mind. If you are the believer, have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, through grace, he will open your mind, your eyes, and your heart, and your ear, that you can hear. If God truly bless you, today you will understand what you hear from him. If today you still do not understand, that means you are unbeliever. You are the candidate of the God of this age. Because who is at work in chapter 2, verse 2? Right beside 4:4, you write down 2:2, Ephesians. Satan, the evil spirit, is at work in those who are disobedient, who do not believe in God. Make sure you are not the target. You are not the candidate of Satan. Okay? Go back. Ephesians chapter 4. To make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, through God's household, through the foundation of God's truth, through the pillar of God's teaching, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the ruler and authority in the heavenly realm. There are so many churches. They talk about things of this world. They don't talk about things in the heavenly realm, the blessing. That's why a lot of God's people, they're still ignorant of that, and they enjoy that. Okay? But it is God's intent that through the church, including the Church of the Apostolic Bible Church of Alberta, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the ruler and authority in the heavenly realm, according to God's eternal purpose. It is God's will. Brother and sister, I want you to write that down right beside chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. You write down Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who call me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. Only those who do the will of the Father will be able to enter the kingdom of God. And Paul mentioned in here to us that it is God's will that the manifold wisdom of God to be revealed the mystery of God to be revealed to all rulers and authority in the heavenly realm. Paul make it known, but a lot of people read the book of Ephesians, they don't know that. They don't know that's God's will for me to do. Now we know, we start doing it. In the heavenly gate, if Jesus Christ asked you the question, Miriam, why will I let you enter the kingdom of God? Based upon Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Based upon Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. What is your answer, Miriam, teacher? Teacher Miriam, why would I let you enter the kingdom of God? Because Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who call me Lord, Lord, be able to enter the kingdom of God. Only those who do the will of the Father who sent you to do his work, give you grace, give your ministry, give your service. What would you say to Jesus? Why will I let you enter the kingdom of God? Based upon these two teachings, the book of Ephesians 3, 10 and 11, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, what will be your answer? No, this is not what Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 saying. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 saying is the one who do the will of the Father will be able to enter the kingdom of God. What's the will of the Father in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11? The will of the Father is to make known the mystery of Christ to the ruler and authority of the heavenly realm. Preach the gospel so that other people knows the mystery of Christ. What is the mystery? It's 3:16. The mystery of Christ is that the Gentile, through the gospel, by faith, you, the Gentile, will become heir together with the Israel, a member together of one body, and sharer together in the promise in Christ Jesus. You make known to them. Make known to all those people who don't know that. If we Gentile don't know that, then you say, why should I study the Old Testament? Old Testament teaching is to the Jews. No, that's not true. Old Testament teaching now is to the Gentile. To the Gentile believer too. Everybody say, I got to make it known. So from this day on, we all have to read the entire 66 books in order to know the mystery of Christ, to know to God's will. If Jesus Christ asked me, why would I let you in? Based upon Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, and Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, I make known your will to the ruler and authority of the heavenly realm, according to your eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. I did it. I understood your mystery. I proclaim your mystery. Can I enter? And you know you can enter. Our Heavenly Father, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your service. They are the gifts of God. They are received by grace through faith. And help us to be faithful in serving you to know your will and proclaim your gospel to the end of the world until we all share the blessing. And we'll be truly blessed by you. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.